each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
Nick. By the way, Nick, I don't have the thing that here that I'm supposed to do between the... So, okay, yeah, whatever they call it. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Well, we got through the
weekend.
Like
Nick said, this is my type of day. But
because it's dark and gloomy and rainy and all.
But I'm in a unique kind of space.
Okay.
To stay.
And Nick, you're supposed to have your pumpkin hat on.
There you go.
He took it off.
Because there you go. I was talking.
All right, let's pray. Okay, and we can... In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this critical time, most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the strength and the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. You know, I don't remember on Friday, I don't know if you can remember this, but because we had the feast of St. Paul, St. Pope John Paul II was Saturday. Mm-hmm. And did I share those quotes of his on Friday? Do you know? Do you remember?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did either.
I think we ran out of time.
I think we got into something else. But let me begin there. Begin here actually. And if I did do it on Friday, then well, it's again. You have to hear something seven times. You know,
it's worth hearing.
And by the way, I've shared this many times, but I wanted to. Over the years, you know what's interesting, and I've mentioned this before. Many times. How many times do I say that?
As many times as we need to hear.
Yeah,
it,
I guess
Father.
So. Yeah, I was in a private audience with Pope Benedict. It was very private. I don't remember how many priests. It could be 35. It could have been 40. Mm-hmm. It could have been 50.
A lot of priests.
A lot of us, but we were. But it was small when you consider. Right. You know, usually with you think of an audience with a pope, you're talking about thousands and thousands of people. Mm-hmm. But we had just been to a congress. It was this was back in 2010, I believe, 2009 or 2010, and I was away for 3 months. This is right after my sabbatical. I was in Rome a year, 2008 to 2009, after 25 years in the priesthood, and came back, and then I was invited to this Congress with Radio Maria. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that first of all, this came to me, so I wouldn't have said yes. Because I never thought of myself as doing radio. I believed and I wanted radio
here
on the campus, you know, and that was one of the things that I had mentioned to Cardinal George, mm-hmm. Way back in probably around 2004, 2005. But it was all part of the call to, mm-hmm. to sanctuary and that we would have radio broadcast from the parish. And in any case, I came back from my sabbatical, and I actually my That would have been, I was up for reassignment. What's amazing is I'm here 32 years as 32 years in the parish, mm-hmm. and minus six, so that would be what, 26 years, or 28
maybe.
I'm 28 yeah. years as a pastor, which is kind of unusual, but it's, I think it's the nature of the parish. We have to do Polish and Spanish and English, and we have a school, so it's a, and it's an old church, and we've really, by God's grace, and
and we really need you.
Well, we all need each other, and right. And we all together need God and Our Lady, and that's been really the what's kept us going, mm-hmm. And why beautiful things have happened here. That's not about numbers. We can't boast of numbers, but it's how God is manifesting Himself, and His grace is bringing healing to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And that, and our doors are open 24/7. And the other thing was, you know, that we would have radio. So I had shared that with Cardinal George. To make a long story short, so when I came back from sabbatical, I was actually up for a reassignment, and because I had been here so long at that time, even I didn't expect that I was going to be reassigned here, and so I assumed as Radio Maria had opened. Well, so what happened was Radio Maria, during this time, came to me before I went to sabbatical, and they wanted to establish a radio station. But they had a place somewhere on the south side in some parish, and at the last minute, they wouldn't do it.
Right.
And so they, in an instant, they were looking for a place to establish radio, not knowing anything of our history, anything of our story. And so when they came, I said, absolutely, this is fits right into the vision, the mission we have for this sanctuary, and what we believe God and the Blessed Virgin Mary want us to do. And so I went to sabbatical, and then that whole year they made preparations to open up this radio studio, and when I, which is above the school, it's in the old convent. And when I came back from sabbatical, as I said, my sense was that I was going to be reassigned by I came back in September. Mm-hmm. I expected that by July I would be reassigned in a different. I would be assigned to a different parish, So I came back. They opened up a Radio Maria, and then Father Francisco from Argentina, who was I think the liaison to the United States from Radio Maria in Italy, in Rome, came to me, and after the weekend, he says, would you consider doing Radio Maria in English? We want to establish Radio Maria in English here in the United States. They had something going on in the South, but they wanted to broaden it, and they wanted to bring it into a big city, like Chicago, New York City or Chicago. And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't see myself doing radio. Even how many years later, I still don't see myself doing radio. I always say this is the worst thing that I do. But in any case, and he said, well, you know, consider it. And I want you to go to Rome in October. Well, that, you know,
I wouldn't
say
no
to
that.
Rome. Yeah, he says, I want you to go to this Congress in Rome in October, and just to be introduced to Radio Maria and the like. And so I went. And at the end of the, we were there for, what, a couple of weeks in this Congress, which eventually then brought me back in the spring for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I was actually reassigned to the parish.
Right.
But in any case, this was all about radio. It was about Radio Maria and communications and social communication and all that And so I was, we were, at the end of the Congress, we went to the Vatican, and we had a very private audience with Pope Benedict. And Pope Benedict really impressed upon us, all of us. He said, you must exercise your prophetic office. Because, see, we have a threefold office, prophetic, priestly, and kingly, to govern, to sanctify, and to, well, to prepare, I suppose, would be the other one. And this is something that all of us, by virtue of baptism, we share in the threefold office of Jesus Christ, who is the supreme high priest, the King of Kings, and the supreme prophet. You know, so we are as Christians, as Catholics, we are a priestly people, a prophetic people, and a kingly people. So it's as it were Jesus exercising his threefold office in each and every one of us. And so, but Pope Benedict emphasized the need to exercise our prophetic office. And it really resonated with so much of what has always been kind of milling through my heart. Mm. You know, from the time I was a seminarian, from the time I went to, even I would say even before, I would even go back to the time I was in junior high school. I remember having this kind of prophetic sense. And when I say prophetic sense, I don't mean it's like you can predict anything, but just, you know, kind of reading the signs of the times. Where are we going? What lies ahead? What is there at the on the horizon that is coming? And this has always been I have a great sensitivity to these kinds of things. And so when I heard that, it just stayed with me. It stayed with me, and it brought me back to why I seem so fixated on the words of Pope John Paul II, because, of course, he was, through the years of my formation, he was in the papacy. I was really formed under the papacy of Pope John Paul II. So what we're going to do is we'll take a break. Excuse me. I'm still feeling the effect of COVID, so you have to bear with me. I'm not coughing right now, thank God, you know, but we will, but so when I come back, and I might have done this on Friday, but I want to do it because I want to, if we have time, carry this into something else. But I think it's really important, mm-hmm. especially in view of the times in which we live, to revisit these words of Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II, whose feast day was this past Saturday. So everybody, okay, so stay with us. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
You are cordially invited to celebrate the crowning of Our Lady of Quebejo Sunday morning, November 27th at 10 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish in Chicago. This is the 40th anniversary jubilee year of Our Lady of Quebejo, the only Vatican-approved Marian apparition in Africa. After the celebratory Mass, there will be refreshments. Join us Sunday, November 27th at 10 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, 1327 North Noble, Chicago. That's two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. More information available at ststandschurch.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The two Tonys here, two T's, right?
Yeah, TNT. Yeah. TNT. We're using TNT.
We're going to use it, TNT. Take that away from Tim and
Taylor.
Taylor, yeah. Who are separated anyway.
Exactly.
So I think I did talk about this on, but I'm going to go through it again because I've just got a few things here, which I just find this very disturbing. Seattle Public Schools, they've decreased in enrollment in the public schools, mm-hmm. yet they've seen an 853% increase in non-binary students since 2019. That is shocking.
Yeah.
And yet not, because these kids, these students, these children are being inculcated mm-hmm. with this ideology. So 853% increase in non-binary students since 2019. How do you identify as non-binary? Do you know? What does that mean? That you could be this way or that way?
Yeah, I think it means you're not male or you're not female.
You're not male, you're not female.
You don't identify as, and again, I'm using these words and I'm brutally, I may be, I don't understand them well, but as the words come out of my mouth, I'm thinking, this is gobbledygook.
Yeah.
How does one, again, I may get in trouble by saying it, but if you're not one or the other, or you associate with being one or the other, I don't know.
Yeah, so the total number of students who identified as non-binary, which means neither male or female, yeah. 853% increase. I mean, this is what, you see, these young people are being inculcated.
Now, you know, I can look at this from the frame of mind of, I believe there is someone greater than me, and that is God. But, you know, in looking at this, the first thing that kind of smacks me in the face is we've gotten rid of God, but we've made this thing a
sure.
God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For these are all kind of cultic stuff. Mm-hmm. It's
and again, not to diminish, if there are people that are neither, you know, again, I don't know enough to say that is not the case. Maybe there are instances where you don't know, whatever. But in saying this, not to insult anybody, but how quick you turn and you make it so that this is almost the God that we worship.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, do these things where we have to acknowledge this. And then go back to the pronouns thing. I mean, why do I have to acknowledge this?
Right.
You know, it's just that,
right.
again.
Yeah. If you don't, and yeah, if again, you don't applaud or celebrate
right,
something that is
certainly
non-scientific, mm-hmm. Contrary to biological science, non-commonsensical, if you
right.
don't. You know, like I deal with people who don't know whether they question whether or not they should attend the marriage of their daughter or their son who is going to marry in a gay relationship, mm-hmm. and so the daughter's going to marry another woman, son's going to marry another man, and you know, it's you love your children, and there should be no doubt about that, you know. But do you support, if you can, if this goes contrary, and it does, contrary to our faith, contrary to the way God has ordered life, we love, I love you, you're my daughter, you're my son, I love you, but you can't expect me to support something that I cannot accept or
and
cannot
see, this
embrace.
Is the thing today, the thing is, I personally will be happy to sit and you can explain all of this to me, you know, but it's now, we don't want to explain it to you. We want to force you to believe it.
Well, you've got to it's even beyond that. Celebrate this,
mm-hmm.
Applaud this.
Exactly. And I have to teach your kids this.
And so what my sentences, and it goes really, kind of goes back to the gospel on Sunday, the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee, he's in the temple, and he says, "Oh my God, I thank you." It's funny, as the gospel says, he prays to himself, and he says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, other men. You know, I obey the commandments. I go to the synagogue. I pay my tithe. I give to the poor. Whatever." He's just going on and on. And thank God I'm not like the tax collector. And the tax collector, of course, was over there. He was prostrate, and he was beating his breast. And he says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a poor sinner." And Jesus says, "He will be first in heaven before the Pharisee." So the Pharisee, and actually the Holy Father, Pope Francis, had a very nice his address on Sunday at the Angelus was really quite nice, I thought. He does say the Pharisee. The Pharisee described in the parable instead, he showed spiritual arrogance by praising himself and his good religious works, while disdaining and dismissing others, pointing out that this adoration of the ego led him to assume his own righteousness and judge others, thereby closing himself off to God. The Pope said, "We also should examine our lives, consider if we might have a bit of the Pharisee's attitude in us, convinced of our own righteousness, judgmental of others, and trapped by narcissism and exhibitionism." He added that we need to remember, where there is too much I, there is too little God. And it kind of, you think of the scripture where Jesus says, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. Now, you know, when we can't, so first and foremost, we acknowledge, and we do this as we begin Mass, we do this before we receive Holy Communion. I think the prayer that is most commonly prayed is the Our Father, the Hail Mary. In both those prayers, we acknowledge our sinners, our sinfulness, that we are sinners. What do we say in the Hail Mary? "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death." The Our Father, of course, you know, deliver us, forgive me as I forgive. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. We begin the Mass acknowledging we're sinners. We acknowledge that before we go to Holy Communion. So, but at the same time, and this is where I really, and actually as I was preparing for this next weekend. And we'll talk about that towards the end of the week. It happened to be the gospel yesterday, because we used the gospel reading from for the feast of St. Anthony Mary Claret. But the call to repent, to convert, to repent, the whole gospel message, in order to know and experience the good news of the gospel, is to repent. And to be a recipient of God's mercy, which means there has to be a metanoia, a change of heart, a turning away from self, a turning away from this world toward God. That is really turning away from the enemies of the soul, the world not under the dominion of God, certainly the free reign of the flesh, and Satan. So if we don't acknowledge the reality of sin, and we don't recognize the need for conversion, or the need to repent, then, you know, we're really things are really amiss and going to go awry. What's lacking, and certainly what we find in the Gospel Sunday was, and the Pope spoke about this as well, Pope Francis, the need for humility. Humility rather than arrogance. No, self-righteousness. We have to be righteous, but not self-righteous. We have to make judgments. To think we go through life, to say, who am I to judge? We have to judge, mm-hmm. but not a self-righteous judgment, a proper judgment. We're making judgments every day. We need to make judgments, and we have to begin with ourselves. But what I find with the, for instance, this 853% increase in non-binary students in the Seattle public schools, which is probably a reality throughout the nation to varying degrees, but this this expectation that everybody is going to accept, celebrate, and applaud what is really contrary to science, to biological science, and the attitude live and let live. Well, no, we've got to make judgment. We've got to define our boundaries. We're bound to the laws of God. And what's lacking? Okay, so let's say a person isn't there. They haven't experienced or they've been blocking. Because I've said this many times too, but I'm more and more convinced that rejecting God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, Jesus who came not to dispense with the law, as he's very, very clear about that, and he repeats it over and over and over through all of the Gospels. But he begins the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, and he says, "And don't think I've come to take away the law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Nothing of the law is to be dispensed with, those Ten Commandments." And he says, and he's even going to call us beyond the Ten Commandments to a life of high virtue. So as converted people, as Christians, as Catholics, who are sinful, but nonetheless on the quest and nurturing relationship with God and value the laws of God. Again, the story of the I think we were talking about the mate. Yeah, we were talking about this on Friday. Actually, mm-hmm. the young man who said, "Lord, what must I do? Yeah. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life everlasting?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one who's good, your Father in heaven." He points beyond himself. And this is something that we need to do today. We got to point, we got to look beyond ourselves. And we're not. We're so caught up in the breeding of narcissism and egocentricity, and life revolves around me. It's about me. It's what I want. And you have to accept and celebrate and applaud anything I want, whatever. But Jesus said to the young man, "Have you obeyed the commandments?" And he says, "Yes, of course." You know, could we say that today? You know, because we have so little regard for the commandments of God. Mm-hmm. And so going back to the do I go to the wedding? Do I not go to the wedding? My suggestion is, you know, you can't support something. You love your child. You love your children. But I can't give my support to or make a mockery of a marriage as ordained by God and as understood through the whole of history, in all religions, this union of man and woman in a covenant. It's interesting that it's even beyond Judeo-Christianity, this has always been the case. What's lacking is the humility on the part of the LGBT plus whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say in all cases, because I'm certain that there are many who have a humility, yeah, to say, okay, even though you don't embrace my way of thinking or living, I have to respect your position, and so if somebody is written off, then I disown you as my father, I disown you as my mother, and certainly parents do not disown their children, mm-hmm. shouldn't. If they do, that's wrong, that's sinful. But to say, okay, if you're not coming to the wedding, if you're not going to support me in this marriage, my being a woman marrying to marry another woman, or a man marrying another man, then I disown you, because you obviously don't love me, and you don't support me and you don't accept this, and so I disown you. I mean, because this is, I hear this all the time.
I hear these stories, yeah.
And I say to myself, but where's your humility? In other words, okay, so I choose this way of living, this way of thinking, because I perhaps don't want the discipline of the faith, or don't accept it, or I don't believe, I'm not converted, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but where's the humility to accept? Okay, I have to respect your religious convictions, your religious faith, your adhering to the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who God working in them and through them, revealing himself perfectly in the life of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who laid out, again, the Ten Commandments, gave us a blueprint on how to live our lives, and, you know. So where's the humility?
It's interesting because even as you're describing this, I see it as a choice. People have this choice. You know, one group is going to say, well, you know what, we want to eliminate that, we just want to make you feel that you have to accept this. And I think with anything, having children, I mean, you don't disown them, but they're adult enough to make that choice. And when you, and then breaking it down, the way I'm trying to understand it, it does take some humility to say, look, you know, I know this isn't for everybody, but, you know, this is what I choose. But it still is what the person does choose.
But unfortunately today, the problem today is it's not just an adult choice because it's being inculcated into the lives
of
children.
It's being made to seem that this is normal.
But even and that's the thing. And along with that is really the free reign of the flesh because this is what the—
There are consequences.
So we've talked about this, but and I'm not getting into this other thing because I think I did Friday, but I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back. But the other thing that's a little, not a little bit, but very disturbing to me before we take the break is I went back and I was reading because Cardinal Hollerich, this is going back several months. He is the Relator General to the Synod on Synodality, which is the so-called a listening church, all about inclusivity, about the welcoming, this kind of accompany. Well, we're going to accompany you. We're going to welcome you. It's about inclusivity, kind of a no judgment thing, and it's a bit disturbing. But it goes back to what the Blessed Mother said in a number of her apparitions that there would be that she spoke of the breakdown of civility and the attack on the family, the attack on marriage, the immodesty, the free reign of the flesh. She spoke about infiltration into the very life of the church, bishop against bishop, cardinal against cardinal. She even said that Rome would lose the faith. I think I mentioned that. That's what Pope John Paul II made, or she made reference to that. The Holy Father didn't say that. But this Cardinal Hollerich of Luxembourg, who's the general, the Relator General of the upcoming, of the Synod on Synodality, said that Catholics should steer clear of him when seeking any kind of firm doctrinal footing. It's kind of beyond. It just one wonders what the heck is going on. And in an interview just yesterday, he said that he basically that God excludes no one from the kingdom, not even remarried divorcees, not even homosexuals, and goes on and on and on. And the point is, yes, okay, I get it. You know, Jesus Christ came not for just some. He came to redeem. I mean, again, go back to Scripture. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. The light came into the darkness, but people chose rather to stay in. The light came into the darkness, but people chose rather the darkness. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. And the problem is that it's true. No one is excluded unless, I mean, God wants our salvation. I mean, he laid down his life. He took love to the extreme. But Christ has made it clear that he will actively exclude many unrepentant sinners from his kingdom. And that was the gospel we had, I think it was last week. You know, you're knocking on the door. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers, because you chose not to follow. You chose a way contrary to the moral, the Decalogue, the commandments of God. You see, in this world, in this life, because the world is disordered, but to contribute to the proper ordering of society, I say this over and over and again, we all have to make sacrifice. Our love is characterized by sacrifice. If it's about me, and if it's all man-centered, with no regard for God, I mean, my gosh, we see what's happening today in the world. I want to share with you this too, and then we'll take the break. And then, Bishop Athanasius Schneider from Kazakhstan, really a brilliant man. And when you talk about bishops against bishops and cardinals against cardinals and the division that is, and no, nobody can deny it. And we need to speak about it. We got to speak about it. But, you know, St. Francis, when Jesus appeared to St. Francis, he says, Francis, rebuild my church. The church is in ruins. This is Bishop Athanasius Schneider, who says the aim of the Synod on Synodality is to undermine the faith and adapt it to a supposed fashion of the day. He denounced the diocesan synodal processes as non-transparent, manipulative, and a way of hearing only those who want to change the faith, while Catholics are despised or not heard, those who hold the Orthodox faith. A Catholic people and priest told Schneider that their input into the Synod has been ignored, and many bishops fear the Synod is a cover for a predetermined agenda in Rome. He agrees with Cardinal Mueller, who said just, I think, last week or the week before, that there is a hostile takeover of the Church by enemies of the faith. The feigned hearing process, quote-unquote, is a problem for Schneider in principle because the Church is not a parliament with democratic methods, but it has to teach the faith handed down by the apostles, not to listen to opinions. And Jesus Christ did not say, go and listen to the pagans or the Gnostics or the Buddhists. That is a perversion of the nature of the Catholic Church. Schneider criticizes the Holy Father, and again, nobody, no bishop, no priest, no cardinal, no pope is above criticism. None of us are above criticism. And he criticizes the Holy Father for making statements that confuse and dilute the faith. He challenges Traditionis Custodes as a way to destroy the Mass. This, he said, is made even clearer by the restrictions and is a great injustice, a persecution, discrimination against Catholics, while pagans and the cult of Pachamama are introduced into Rome. So it just very interesting, a number of these things. But you're almost, can we have a discussion? Can we have can we challenge each other? Certainly, I'm open to being challenged. But it just seems today that if you don't tote the party line, if you're not feeding the current narrative, inclusivity, welcoming, non-judgmental, we're going to accompany you. Everything is seemingly relative. Jesus is a God among gods. Our faith is our religion is one religion among many religions. Certainly there's a truth everywhere. There's the truth of the truth is everywhere. Kernels of truth, but the fullness of the fullness of truth, the fullness of the faith, is to be found in the church founded by Jesus Christ on the rock of Peter. And yes, you know, people outside the church may be living their lives in ways that are far holier than those in the church, but that doesn't negate the reality. And again, we have to look to the church triumphant. That's the church in heaven. We're always the church militant. We're always in the battle. We're always having to fight the good fight. We're always, up against the spirit of the world, up against the reign of the flesh, the devil, who is a deceiver and a seducer, creates the illusion. He's also the accuser. I mean, we're in a spiritual battle. And Jesus was very, very clear. He didn't mince his words, ever. Never deceived us. But he said, you're going to be at enmity with the world. You're gonna be hated on account of me. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have to pass through trials and tribulations on account of me. On account of me. Speaking of himself, you're going to have trouble, but have courage, be at peace, I've conquered the world. The apostles, again, aside from Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord and despaired, took his own life, John was imprisoned, he wasn't martyred, but he was certainly imprisoned on the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. But all the other apostles, all were martyred. They were all put to death. And you think down through the ages, and even in our own day and time, Christians are being martyred, put to death, because they will not renounce Jesus Christ. I just always think of those Ethiopian martyrs, 33. I think it was 33, and one Muslim who joined them. And they're kneeling on the shore of the sea in Liberia, I think, or was it
Lebanon?
Not Lebanon.
Libya.
Libya, I believe it was there. And they were all beheaded. They would not renounce Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And a Muslim who witnesses joined them in this martyrdom, And so my point is, yes. What's lacking, what's not being heard, is the call to conversion, the call to repent, to acknowledge the reality of sin, personal sin. It has to begin with each and every one of us. But it seems more like we're giving a green light to do whatever you want. We're going to applaud. We're going to celebrate. Everybody's well. Everybody. That's why our doors are open 24/7. But if you embrace the faith, it means, you enter into this discipline, and certain things have to change in all of our lives. And it's a work of a lifetime, but we have to humbly acknowledge our need for conversion. Okay, so we're going to take a break. Nick, I lost my time here, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. I really have deviated from what I wanted to do, but I think what happens. I wanted to do I did on Friday, but we're going to come back to that, conclude with that. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change, on the new EWTN Catholic Radio, a voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
You are cordially invited to celebrate the crowning of Our Lady of Cabejo, Sunday morning, November 27th at 10.
at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish in Chicago. This is the 40th anniversary jubilee year of Our Lady of Cabejo, the only Vatican-approved Marian apparition in Africa. After the celebratory mass, there will be refreshments. Join us Sunday, November 27th at 10 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, 1327 North Noble, Chicago. That's two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. More information available at ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up. I'll conclude with this. Again, the words of Pope John Paul II, which I suspect I probably mentioned this on Friday, because I did speak about him being the
it's
Pilgrim
Pope,
27-year papacy. As I said, I have a keen sense of the words of Pope Benedict just really strike me so deeply because it resonates with what I feel in my soul, that we've got to exercise our prophetic office. We've got to read the signs of the times. And Pope John Paul II, you know, these words reflect his prophetic office. And this is even, let me just read, and if I read it Friday, it's good to hear it again, because it kind of helps us to put into perspective, right?
Right.
What's really going on here? And not to put our heads in the sand, or not to... To be in La La Land, or kind of Pollyannish about it, or to turn a blind eye to the fact that we are really in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a crisis, and when we don't admit it, when we don't acknowledge it, then we lose credibility. We lose all relevancy, because I talk to people all the time, every day. Mm-hmm. People are really suffering. They're suffering what's going on, and they're saying, you know, where do we go? What do we do? Make some sense out of this for me. This is crazy. Parents, 853% increase in non-binary students since 2019 in the public schools in Seattle. Is that the norm? Should that be the norm?
Some people want it to be the norm.
Well, sir, of course. But Pope John Paul II, he said in 1980, we must prepare ourselves to suffer great trials before long, such as will demand of us a disposition to give even life and a total dedication to Christ. And for Christ, with our prayers, it is possible to mitigate the coming tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it, because only thus can the church be effectively renewed. How many times has a renewal of the church sprung from the shedding of blood? This time, too, it will not be otherwise. We must be strong and prepared and trust in Christ and in His Holy Mother and be very, very assiduous in praying the Holy Rosary. Those are His words. They resonate with me. And I think they resonate with many people because this is, wow. Okay. And then again, as he, just 2 years before he was raised to the chair, Peter, again, I just, you've heard it probably 100 times from me, but it helps me to understand what's happening today. It's been happening through the whole of my adult life, but it's accelerating at such a speed that it's just unbelievable. But at the same time, God is in our midst, and in hidden ways, there are things that are happening because as Our Lady said in the Magnificat, the wise and the mighty will be down. They will be brought down from their throne. Or as Pope Benedict said, the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of humble believers. But Pope John Paul II, 2 years before he was raised to the chair of Peter, he said, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced. I do not think the wide circle of the American society or the wide circle of the Christian community realizes this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between the Christ and the Antichrist. This confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is therefore in God's plan, and it must be a trial which the church must take up and face courageously." And then later, he'll go on to say, as Pope, we do not pretend. We do not pretend that life is all beauty. And this is something that has to be acknowledged. You know, we do not pretend that life is all beauty. We are aware of darkness and sin, of poverty and pain. How often, and I've asked you this through the airwaves, is there ever been a day when you haven't suffered something, some assault to your mind, your body, your soul, or your spirit? And even if there's been such a day, if somebody is suffering, when one member suffers, all members suffer. Those are those who have a sensitivity to God and God's law and God's life and God's love and God's mercy. So, yes, we do not pretend that life is all beauty. We are aware of darkness and sin, of poverty and pain, but we know that Jesus has conquered sin and passed through His own pain to the glory of the resurrection, and we live in the light of His Paschal mystery, the mystery of His death and resurrection. We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Those are the words of Pope John Paul II. And yes, indeed, we come what will, come what may. Oh, nobody knows for sure what the future holds. But we are, there's no doubt, passing to a great apostasy, a going away from the faith. And this is a grave temptation in the life of the church, and Our Lady said it would be, even to the point that she said, and nobody has to believe this, but that Rome would lose the faith. But the church, is the mystical body of Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And Jesus said that. And Jesus says, "I pray for you, Peter, that you strengthen your brothers, because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. If we don't have a sensitivity to that reality, we succumb easily to the deceptions. But no, we will not be defeated." Again, Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be courageous, be at peace, I've conquered the world. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you, child.
Amen. what's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sin?